Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
One of the big issues that we hear constantly talked about really in the media, and indeed people talk about it to each other I think now, is climate change and the issues that go with it, whether or not we are approaching crunch point, the point of no return, the point where if we aren't acting now, the planet will never be the same again, that it will be a situation where parts of it are uninhabitable, where we have massive famines, where we have massive migrations, where we have people dying is what we're talking about. It is in the news a lot this week because members of the Oireachtas Committee on Climate Change are currently in a disagreement among themselves about the introduction of a carbon tax, which has widely been touted as one of the necessary solutions to climate change. And tomorrow, the planned schools strike for climate action is taking place against the background of what is believed to be the government's lack of action on climate change. It was believed that they might bring in a carbon tax in the last budget. They, of course, didn't. Are your kids going off to the climate change strike tomorrow? Are they going to be waving placards outside Dáil Éireann? It's not a bad thing to get your kids politically activated at a young age so that they feel engaged with issues of the day. But where do you stand on this? Do you believe climate change is at crisis point? And are you willing to pay a carbon tax? And if you believe the first, how can you not believe the second? How can you not be willing the second? To discuss all of this now, I am joined by Eamon Delaney, who is a columnist with the Times Ireland edition. Eamon, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Ciara.
First of all, where do you stand on climate change? Are you, you're not a climate denier, I presume, are you?
No. I'm appalled by climate change deniers or even skeptics. And I never understood it, actually. And I queried it by people on my side of the fence economically. Let's say I'm centre-right, as people would know, on many issues, are also kind of, you know, climate change skeptics. And why there's a whole bag of tricks. I think I asked David Quinn at the Owen Institute about it, and he said, well, it's because on climate change advocacy, that people feel marginalised and shut out of a mainstream debate. This is the way it was put. And so that's another issue that the liberal left have embraced. But it's all me eye here. I think I don't.
So you're embracing a basket of views, even if not all the views are defensible.
It is interesting, though. I find, just as I find it odd that
we don't want to misquote David Quinn, in fairness, either to himself.
Yeah, so
we might park him.
I agree on many stuff.
Yeah.
It is odd. Like for example, I mean, just elsewhere in Ireland and also globally, a lot of people who are, for example, pro-life, are also often anti-immigrant and climate change deniers.
Yeah,
I find that odd.
There is a crossover of views, and there are that idea of a basket
of views.
Yeah, but
it shouldn't be, you know. And by the same token, and it's an interesting, it's germane to this debate, it is, I find it, I often give out to the Green Party, because that's the party I would often vote for first in an election, have done for decades, except for all the soft left economic stuff. I think just focused on the environment and ecology and all those issues. So it is odd the way things fall. But look, let's leave all that off the table, Ciara, and just talk about the actual, what's in front of our eyes. And I would feel passionate about this now at this stage of my life and society's life and whatever, because it's both individual and local, and it's big picture, you know. So as I was saying to the other Ciara, your researcher earlier, like today now, for example, I was in Forest Friends Ireland and Drumcondra. I'm here in North Dublin. And later on tonight, I go to Finsbury Tidy Towns, which is not just tidy towns, it's about biodiversity and planting and the canal and looking after it. And we all have to do our bit, you know. As you've said many times and people on your program, it's about picking up litter and getting the insects and the birds back. And then it's also about carbon tax and climate change and other parts of the world.
Let's move on to the carbon tax because we're in agreement that climate change is massively important. And I, a bit like yourself, I'm not in your, quite your politics. I'd be more to the left of them, but I don't share the exact same basket of views as every other liberal lefty in that I'm a big believer in free speech, which appears to be being eroded on the left. But supposing we take that climate change is at crunch point, and that, you know, there are various things that we need to do now to act to protect us. Because I'm not such a bleeding heart liberal that I'm all about protecting the bees and everything. Mm. I protect the bees because I want the food chain to be protected for the humans. Mm. And that's kind of where I'm coming to all the time.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But what do we do? Because there appears to be, I mean, there's always debate in Leinster House about everything, but a lack of debate about carbon tax when carbon tax is one of the, I suppose, tools that we have to target climate change issues and to change people's behaviour. How can anybody justify being against a carbon tax when we know how damaging carbon is now?
I think it goes back to the thing that we've discussed many times on so many topics, and it's this appalling populism in Irish political culture, which is really not there in other cultures, I think. I mean, it even connected to the tariff imposition. Sean William from RTÉ had a great piece about the British have rolled out tariffs, these things on Brexit, and I don't want to get into the Brexit debate, but because it knows, it's wonderful that we're super attenuated to the needs of constituents. So constituents don't want to pay money for anything, for water, property tax. So property tax is kept artificially low. I think that's good. I don't need to pay much property tax, but it's not kind of right for the overall good. Same with water, thrown into, you know, abolish water charges, and same with carbon tax. So disappointingly, even the left, and especially the hard left and Sinn Féin, I saw a spat last night between Eamon Ryan and Owen Brin about it on Twitter, they're also saying, why should ordinary people have to pay? But the solution, I think, there is, I don't want to advocate Chinese communist impositions, but quite honestly, just too much democracy, too much allowing people off the hook, and it should be more prescriptive, you know?
I don't know if I agree that too much democracy is a bad thing. I agree with you about populism being the driving force in the Dáil on this one. I do. And I agree with you on water charges as well. And I think it wasn't just the hard left that caved into that movement. I think that was
populism.
It was a straw that broke the camel's back at the end of austerity. I think there was that. I don't agree that we're the only sort of culture or economy or country that's prone to it. I think throughout Europe we see populism. It's causing the rise of the further right parties. You know, we need a certain amount of immigration. They're anti-immigration. We need certain things to happen in society. They're anti those things. So I think let's come back to this particular issue. They're talking about this idea, and it is a fee and dividend structure is the idea. So you would pay a levy on the carbon that you use, on your petrol or on your fuel or on things like that. I'm not quite sure how the dividend works, but apparently it's budget neutral to people, so that you're receiving the money back in other ways through payments, through social welfare or through checks. But somehow what happens between the paying and the dividend is your behaviour will be changed, because you'll want to, I suppose, reduce what you're paying out so that you aren't waiting for a year for the dividend to come back. So even though it's budget neutral, it's going to affect our behaviour is the idea. Do you see that as the right road to go? And you know, do you think that it is a situation now that we have to say no to populism on this and say, do you not accept that Ireland and every other country is going to have to change their ways in some way if we're going to actually make any kind of impact on climate change?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, this is actually a soft sugaring of the pill, you know. So it's a political culture, as with water charges, again, when they tried to give us the refund back. Do you remember that? The refund, even though you're paying it, and it was just sweeteners. We shouldn't need these sweeteners, but let's just go the way we are. And yes, this is a good measure. I think it gets people, so it's carrot and stick simultaneously, because, you know, people have to, you know, they can't say, oh, it's just the big companies, the corporates have to pay their way because they're doing more polluting. And then we can say, it's always someone else. If the Chinese are building coal-fired gas stations every second week, actually they're not. The Chinese have done quite a lot to get from where they were, you know. So I think we have to do our bit. I think this should be brought in. But I also think that this government or the political culture needs to be more assertive and say, this is it. Sorry, guys, you know. Sorry, you've got to take off. And the same with the farmers. You know, you hear the farming lobby coming on, and I often feel they get away with all these equivocations and all so on, but the facts do not lie. We are there, top of the list on offending in terms of emissions and
Although one of the things I don't understand from the fee and dividend structure is if it is budget neutral for people, so you're paying a carbon tax but you're receiving money back and it's supposed to affect your behaviour but it's not really costing you anything, it's more sort of a nudge in the right direction, it shouldn't be financially punitive to people. That's what my understanding is. They're then talking about ring fencing the revenues from it to do sort of green energy things. How can there be a revenue from something that's revenue neutral or budget neutral to people? Are they just talking about the money that they have that they have on hold for the period of a year? It doesn't. There's holes in this to me that I don't understand.
Spot on. I think absolutely. I think it's possibly a placebo effect. You know, there's nothing there.
That would be my understanding. I mean, we need some practical things. I'll tell you what some of them I think are is. You know, we're going to have to pay thousands, hundreds of millions in fines to the EU for our high emissions.
Yes, it's important we say that. That
hits our pockets. But don't you think that we should actually lobby the EU to be allowed to take that money, ring fence it and use it for public transport rather than just paying it as a fine? We still take it out of the government coffers, but it goes into something green. I think, you know, because it's more useful.
Yeah, I don't know, like public transport, the money's there, the government should find it anyway. They find money for other things, God knows, the children's hospital, look at the overrun. I mean, I think the EU would say, sorry, this is a bit like having your cake and eating it, you know. I mean, I'm glad you've said that, because the thing about me advocating more of a stick in terms of small stick and carrot is that there is a bigger stick over Ireland. And in many ways, the EU, this is why it comes to Europhile post-Brexit, because it saves us from ourselves. As Colin Devine, the novelist, once said, maybe the EU would save us from ourselves on something, you know, bail us out and so on. And also on the environment, I just think if there wasn't this big stick and these big fines coming, there wouldn't be these panicky voices in our government ministers saying we have to start doing something quickly, biodiversity, you know, carbon emissions and so on. So, I feel to me it's like taking tax from cigarettes, put it directly into
health. Lots of people are getting involved, Brendan. Someone says, ask Eamon, would it be okay to pay extra taxes like water and carbon tax if the tax system was fair? And when these taxes were introduced, general taxation falls back a bit. Otherwise, we're just paying more tax and having less and less to live off. I mean, is that music to your ears?
Well, yeah, it used to be. If he is sort of, when I'm listening to a different record, and I went to a different room and turn on a different record player, because I'm generally against more taxes than have been in the past. However, my view has changed now because, you know, the tax thing has become, there's far too many people removed from the income tax net, for example. And I say that as someone who's not a high earner myself, and I get a great let off. So you can't, there has to be fairness here. So we don't want more taxes, that's true. And often new tax just gets
I often wonder when people talk about it coming out of general taxation, which hospital do they want to close or which road do they not want to be built?
The point being, I'm very much I think we've discussed this before, I think you may partly agree that universality thing is very questionable, where benefits go to everybody. I think people who should pay for stuff, who can well afford it, and then there's more tax money got in, left for people who are more needed or for priorities. But so that's a general issue of taxation. However, I also think, though, that this is a special... I do think the environment is the burning, literally, issue of our time and our generation. Suddenly, we're all facing it globally, I mean, and nationally. And I think in this case, we've had... there might be a tax for United Ireland, there might be a tax for wartime, you know, special cases, special emergencies, you know?
A lot of people are asking the same question. What alternatives do we have? You know, we're going to be taxed. We're going to have a carbon tax. But what if we aren't able to not use our cars because we don't have public transport in the country?
Or those using our cars so much.
That's fine for you because you live somewhere on the north side of Dublin.
I'm not buying that.
If you lived in Roscommon, what would you use if you didn't have a car?
I know, but Kerry, we have to I'm not to view of it, but there's an awful discourse in media where if I give you an example, it's what presenters must do or journalists. They say, but you get the most extreme example outside, and you're quite right. Someone who can't. I met someone yesterday who's a nurse. Has a car and she's to get to, where is it now?
It's the reality of rural Ireland. There is no public transport.
Yeah, but there's lots of people who don't. And I can tell you that anecdotally, and I don't mean just one or two. I mean, North Dublin is very revealing on this. There's choked with traffic in the morning. One person per car for a start, not carpooling, not car sharing. My school run, I'm lucky enough, is walking with the kids, which is great. And I accept that people have got to drive, but a lot of people don't. And here's a big element. a lot of free car parking, say for public sector workers and so on, the car parks on government deposits. That's a lot of where the fact is there's just too much traffic going to the city. Yeah.
No, I agree with that. And I agree with the principle of us having to change. Look, thank you for speaking to us. That is Eamon Delaney, my tongue isn't working today, columnist with the Times Ireland edition. 53106, what do you think? A lot of people are accepting that climate change is real, that climate change is a problem, that climate change is a crunch point. Equally, a lot of people against a carbon tax. They see the issue, but they don't want to have any role in the solution. So that they recognise the problem, but the solution is for other people. Someone emailed from Kieran says, one small change in our behaviour can have a big impact on the planet. If we all stopped buying bottles of water, for example, and refilled a usable bottle from the tap, it would stop corporations producing so much. Yes, bad for business, but no planet, no business. I was offered a free bottle of water with my sandwich today and I declined, saying I want to avoid using plastic. The shop assistant laughed nervously. This sort of reaction is because we still haven't copped on as a species. I do hear more and more people saying similar things. I offered to get somebody a coffee the other day. I was going out to get coffee and they said no because they didn't have their key. They wanted a coffee, but they said no because they didn't have their keep cup with them and they won't use a disposable cup anymore. People are changing their behaviour. Somebody else says, tell your caller that people will be okay paying extra taxes like water and carbon tax if the tax system was fair. Somebody else says, carbon taxes won't reduce emissions. It will just be another stealth tax. Get rid of turf and coal burning power plants and adopt nuclear power. Reduce road congestion to reduce cars idling for hours while stuck. And that's Eric and Galway. I'm inclined to think, lads, that nuclear will come back on the table in time. It has had a bad press because of accidents around the world over the history of its usage, but I think ultimately they will be able to produce massive amounts of electricity from it, and I think that they will probably iron out all the issues with it over time, the same way technology has moved in every other area. And someone else says tell that tree hugger, no one has ever called Eamon Delaney a tree hugger before, nobody wants another kind of tax of any kind, especially a hocus pocus carbon BS tax. Look at the violence in France over this crap. I wouldn't be looking to the Gilets Jaunes as any kind of paragons of what is right or good. They're just anarchists, a lot of them, as far as I'm concerned. Brendan is also on the line. Brendan, you think that the students who are going on strike tomorrow, the strike for climate change among school children, shouldn't be allowed, and you're an ex-teacher. Tell me why.
No, I wouldn't put it quite that strongly.
Okay,
Am I over-egging it? Okay, I would just question the whole thing about students going out on strike.
Tell me why.
First of all, well, if they feel that strongly about it, they could always go out like a lot of other protesters on Saturdays and so on. And secondly, you know, the government make a lot of thing about the integrity of the school year and dare you take a day off and this. And now suddenly, you know, the teacher was encouraging the whole thing about the idea of the students going on strike. So I think there's some sort of a problem there. And there's also a danger. Now, I'm not sure is it happening here, but there is a danger of teachers maybe who are very zealous on these issues using the students as a way of furthering their own agendas. So there's just questions I'd raise.
I take your point, but I think a lot of this is off the foot of that student. I think she was a Scandinavian student who gave a TED talk herself
said it is
her generation, it is the school child's generation that is going to be impacted by climate change more than yours or mine, because we're older and we won't be on the planet for as long going forward. And they're saying we're the people that your crappy policies are affecting. So I think that's why it is school kids.
Fine. That's fine. And that's a fine argument for going out at weekends to make your protest.
Is it not, though, more noteworthy that we have, and isn't that the point if you're trying to raise awareness, that it is more noteworthy if A, you bring the traffic to a halt, which you do on a Friday more than you do on a Saturday, and B, in addition to that, that you've walked out of your classes, that school kids have downed their pens and pencils and they've walked, that, you know, rather than kind of, you know, people often dismiss weekend protests as kind of half-hearted, they're not as committed as weekday ones.
Yeah, I don't think I would agree on that, but the thing is that, you know, it also raises the questions of, well, what causes then are going to justify? So what's the next student strike and what causes are
you see,
justified
I
from coming out?
Brendan, the texters are going mad at you, and I'll tell you why, because people see climate change as the issue of our time. They see it, it's up there with war or whatever. It's not like, there's climate change is one thing and, you know, also there's, I want to have a shorter working week or something. It's not viewed in that way. It's viewed as a kind of, as a cause
Yeah, I've heard lots of things being called the big issue of our time. So I, you know, despite a few of them,
So you saying that you don't buy the seriousness of it as an issue?
Oh God, no, I'm not saying that at all. It is a serious issue. I'm just saying that for students, especially primary school students, to be striking on a particular cause with the encouragement of the teacher, I just would raise the question on that, how wise that is. There are dangers there, and the same points could be made. So, no doubt, I don't know whether texters will go mad, but it doesn't matter. I'm only raising the question.
That's okay.
I haven't
got
mega strong feelings.
No, that's okay. And actually, the girl I'm referring to is someone who's just texted and said, Greta Thunberg had the TED Talk, and she's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize today on the basis of that, because she has rallied people around the world to this cause.
Could I say, in case people misunderstand, I am entirely enthusiastic about students,
but you'd rather
getting involved
a Saturday
in environmental issues, and being active citizens. I'm absolutely committed to that, but I just would raise a specific question for discussion on the idea of a strike during school day.
Can I ask you one question? Because someone has asked this question of you. Sure. They said, if you were going on strike as a teacher, would you strike on a Saturday?
Well, you can't.
You see, you can't put your head above the parapet now.
I'm not suggesting they strike on a Saturday. Just let them protest. And God knows, I protested on plenty of about various
Brendan
things.
I'm only teasing you.
Okay,
and it's literally, you know what, if you come on and you put yourself out there, what actually happens, and do come on, because we want to hear people's views, and we're not having an actual go, is people will have all the debate. It generates the conversation, and I'm very grateful.
I'm glad to see a debate on it, yeah.
Exactly, and I'm very grateful to you for coming on and making your point, and well made, and thank you. Somebody else says, lots of people are talking. The text line has lit up with striking on Saturdays for teachers. But anyway, there's somebody else on the line, Michael. Michael, you think the protests are a bit snowflakey. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by that is it smacks of self-righteousness.
Okay.
If the students want to go and demonstrate, and you made a point that, when you were talking to the last chap, that if they go out and demonstrate and stop all the traffic, all people sitting in the traffic will be sitting in the traffic with their engines going and creating more carbon.
They will.
But if they really want to help the carbon situation, why don't they get rid of all their electronic devices and stop tapping into the electricity system?
Oh.
That creates more carbon.
Michael, you've touched a nerve. You can't expect... You want the young people of Ireland, instead of striking, to give up their smartphones?
No, and what I'm saying is, if they want to go and strike as a symbol of their commitment to preventing climate change, they should get rid of all their electronic devices.
Do you know, it is a very interesting thing, because we do talk all the time about reducing our use of plastic. That is, and plastic obviously creates pollution and has issues. And obviously you have to generate the plastic, and then it doesn't get broken down. So that's one thing. But we don't hear, and you're quite right, we don't hear a huge amount about people talking about reducing their electricity, like turning off their heating more, turning off their lights more, turning off devices, unplugging things. Stuff like that would actually reduce things too, wouldn't it? Or,
yes,
as you say, not even using them. Stop using your iPads and your iPhones.
Look, it's the thing of, you know, it's like what the chap you were talking about the water charges earlier on. You know, I don't want to pay them. Somebody else should pay them. And it's the same with the students thing of, you know, everybody else should be contributing to reduction in climate change. But not me, because I want to use my electronic devices.
That's actually a really good point and a really interesting one. You're quite right. People always want it to be what, you know, I'm not going to use my any more plastic. I'm not going to use any more of this or that, or I'm not going to drive. I'm going to take I would suggest that that teenagers would find it very hard to give up their electronic devices. And that's very interesting. 53106 is Michael exactly right, that all of us want other people to give up what's important to them for climate change, or other people to pay a carbon tax for climate change. But you know, what wouldn't you give up? Would you not give up your holidays abroad? What if we all had to go on holidays to Longford or Roscommon or Leitrim, because, or even Connemara or Cork or Kerry? What if because what if they said no non-essential air traffic? You know, you had to only travel for reasons of, you know, family emergencies or commercial things, like you had a job somewhere else. What if there was no other reason you were allowed travel? You weren't allowed travel for leisure. Would you give that up? Have you stopped drinking coffee out of a disposable cup? What wouldn't you give up, or what would you give up for climate change in addition to a carbon tax? 53106, and tell me if you're going on the strike tomorrow too. I'd be very interested to hear from you. Coming up after this, not only do I have an amazing competition for you, but I'm going to be telling you what you can do about maths anxiety.